It's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house, halfway up in the next block, we find Mrs. Victor Gook, her 14-year-old son, Rush, and her amiable Uncle Fletcher. It is a pleasant summer afternoon, and our friends are taking things easy. Sage languidly darns gentleman's socks in the easy chair. Rush is making a feint at mending a seam on his indoor baseball. Uncle Fletcher, completely relaxed, lounges on the davenport and holds forth discursively about this, that, and the other thing. Listen.
Martin Jordan left Rochelle, Illinois in 1902. Gave up the chewing gum habit in favor of sleeve gutters. Married a woman 15 years old. Formerly repudiated the existence of the automobile in 1909. Shot his uncle by mistake. And in 1911, give up the use of salt and pepper on his victuals, as well as ketchup, mace, cloves, and allspice.
Quite a fella.
You asleep, Rush, honey?
No.
Good. Never go to sleep.
This is the kind of an afternoon where I just as soon go to sleep.
Never go to sleep. Never go to sleep. That's a little piece of advice I picked up from F. L. Rod Easterly that was indirectly related to President William McKinley. He took me by the hand one afternoon there in Moberly, Missouri, while we were waiting on the railroad station platform for the St. Louis train, and he said, never go to sleep. I've never forgotten that.
Well, what did he mean?
Yes.
Under what kind of circumstances did he advise you not to go to sleep?
I explained the circumstances. We were standing on the railroad station platform.
Yes, I know. But when this man advised you never to go to sleep, what did he have in mind?
He had in mind the modern Ohio plow horse. A breed which has improved by leaps and bounds during the last 50 years.
I see.
Life is a curious thing.
Yeah?
Life is a curious thing, and the advice of F. L. Rod Easterly teaches us a lesson.
Yes, indeed.
You feel that it teaches us a lesson, Sadie Hoodie?
Uh-huh.
What lesson does it teach us? What lesson does it teach us?
Oh, yes, Uncle Fletcher, I don't know.
I don't know myself, by yours.
Leave all scratch my back.
That is pretty much your business.
No, I guess I won't either.
Oh.
Decisions like that are difficult to arrive at in warm weather.
Quite a mental strain, I guess, to make up your mind to scratch your back or not.
I agree.
Speaking of F. L. Rod Easterly, he once run for coroner of Moberly, Missouri.
Oh, really?
He ran for coroner and he got beat.
Well?
He ran for sheriff and got beat.
Gee.
F. L. Rod Easterly had one great big ambition in life.
What was that?
To run for mayor and got beat.
Imagine.
F. L. Rod Easterly realized that ambition. Rush, what did he do?
He ran for mayor and got beat.
He ran for mayor and got beat.
You certainly know a lot of interesting people, Uncle Fletcher.
The interesting people I know, you couldn't crowd into the lobby of the Bright Kentucky Hotel.
Uh-huh.
We won't scratch my back after all.
Oh, ish, Rush. You sound like a simpleton.
Well, various dear old chums of mine entertain the notion I am a simpleton.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't brag about that.
I'm not thin-skinned.
Certainly is a quiet, sleepy afternoon.
And then there was Virgil K. McSneets of Wabash, Kansas.
Every time you say that, Mom, it stops being a quiet, sleepy afternoon. Something happened.
Yeah.
Virgil K. McSneets married a woman 38 years old, hit her on the head with a straw suitcase in disgust, poked her father a Cincinnati sidearm uppercut alongside the jaw, put his left shoe on his right foot and right shoe on his left foot and held a gang of section men at bay with a 2x4 plank while he buried a switch of bacon and a firkin of lard in a white shirt.
Goodbye, George.
Tidy-eye. Can't be more than 2 o'clock, is it?
No. We're in the living room, Gov.
What's the discussion here?
Vic just come in the kitchen door.
No.
You've got company, have you?
Uncle Fletcher's here.
Not playing truant from the office, Vic, honey, on this warm afternoon. Speaking of playing truant from the office, I had this friend of mine from Grand Forks, North Dakota, that never failed.
Well, what do you know? All my loved ones in a single sound. Greetings, Uncle Fletcher, old pal. Say, honey, if I wasn't so busy, I'd give you a kiss. Rush, you're the pride of my heart and the flower of my old age.
What you got in the bundle?
I anticipated you, little eh, Sadie?
Is
that
close?
Oh, that's close. I anticipated you twice.
Oh, ish.
And still another time.
What kind of dialogue is this?
Search me.
I heard some rather feverish dialogue one time when Ernie Snappy there in DeKalb accidentally run his coal wagon over Mrs. George Eucherman's foot. But Mrs. George Eucherman was a perfect lady and all that. But till this day, the different sports love to describe her.
Excuse me,
her.
Professor, but my wife is burning up with curiosity. Yes, kiddo, there are clothes in this bundle.
Why are you home from the office at 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
I'll explain that and these clothes and one or two other things. Rush for down cellar.
No.
You defy, Papa?
Yes.
Good.
Vic, honey, the hot rays of the sun haven't penetrated through your skull, are they?
Uncle Fletcher, honey, you are intransigent, flaccid, rococo, and anti-disestablishmentarianistic.
Yes, I know. In fact, some of the young ladies back in Dixon years ago roasted me on them qualities. I never complained. If they coaxed me for a lock, snarl, or snippet of my hair, I'd give it to them with an easy smile, casual belly laugh.
Oh, you're a big man, Uncle Fletcher. In fact, you're the golden soul of the buttercup.
That's right.
Well, what is all this? Whose clothes are those? What's up? Something's up. It's written all over your face.
I have here a policeman's uniform. Really, Gus? I have here a policeman's uniform, and I'm going to put it on. Let's see it. Are you expecting company this afternoon, Sage?
No.
The day spreads out tranquilly like smooth, grassy waters without frisk, rendezvous, or commitment?
Get to the point.
You are out of sorts and peevish?
No, only this sounds like new craziness.
It's the kind of thing which I knew from experience you're apt to view in the light of craziness.
Oh, my.
You people will probably be interested in the...
Hold it a minute, Uncle Fletcher.
Right.
That's a policeman's uniform you got there?
It is.
You're going to put it on?
I am.
You've quit your job and joined the police force?
We might as well go through with the childish play acting, I expect. Yes, I've quit my job and joined the police force.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I have also sent in an order for 2 locomotives and a dirigible balloon.
Uh-huh.
I try out for third base with the Denver, Colorado baseball team next Friday. And I'm marrying a Miss Lucille Stokerfield in August 1st.
That's dandy.
Now, do you want to listen to the facts?
Please.
Speaking of young ladies coaxing me for a lock, snarl, or snippet of my hair, I'll never forget a certain Miss Dorothy Hugel there in Andersonville, Kentucky.
Hold it another minute, Uncle Fletcher.
Yep.
All right, then.
Chief of Police William Cullerton will be here in a few minutes. He's going to use our living room for police headquarters a little while this afternoon. His office is being torn up by plasters and paper hangers. There's so much noise and din and confusion that he can't work. Well, I met him when I dropped in the little tiny petite pheasant fed at tea shoppy for a sandwich. He just about decided to go fishing, but he'd had a batch of telegrams saying from some famous crook called Courtney Van Cortland, the cunning culprit from Covington, Kentucky, was loose in the vicinity. So he figured he better stick around. I suggested he come here. He said, fine.
You're talking too fast, eh? You're excited. Slow down.
This is the kind of business you generally object to is the reason that I'm excited.
Well, let's begin again and take it easy.
Who's the famous crook that's loose in the vicinity, Gov?
Courtney Van Cortland, the cunning culprit from Covington, Kentucky.
Say, he sounds like a high-class desperado.
He's also known as the intrepid evildoer of El Dorado, Arkansas.
Say, boy,
Let's begin again, Vic, and take it easy. The chief of police is coming here?
Yes.
When?
He's due this minute.
Why is he coming here?
Well, because the plasters and paper hangers are redecorating the city hall and his office is in an uproar.
He's going to use our living room for an office?
Well, only for an hour or so, just to receive a telephone call. He would have slipped off and gone fishing, only he thought he'd better stick around on account of Ronald Rodman, the ruthless ruffian from Radford, Rhode Island.
Who's he?
The same character under a different alias.
Why, George, he is a catbird, no mistake.
You met the chief of police in a restaurant.
Yeah, the tiny potato pheasant feather tea shopping. We both stopped in for a sandwich.
I see.
Anything wrong with that?
No.
Chief Cullison is a pal of mine. I wanted to help him out.
Of course.
You choose to look enigmatic, Dave.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're just awful sorry.
So my living room is to be turned into a police station, huh?
I knew you'd put it that way.
Is there another way of putting it?
Chief Cullison is just going to sit here quiet on the Davenport and take a telephone call. Won't be any string of criminals parading in and out. He's just going to sit here quiet on the Davenport and take his telephone call and be available for any information concerning this famous bad man, Irving Isherwood, the injurious ingrate from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Is that the same fellow, Doug?
Yeah, he's known under a variety of names.
The young ladies used to roast me a good deal with the suspicion of handles that caused general laughter.
Now, is that so, Uncle Fletcher? And you're going to wear a policeman suit?
Chief Cullison has been kind enough to deputize.
Oh, my.
I can arrest people.
Don't bother looking at me.
I got this star and this billy club and these pants with the stripes down the side and a policeman cap, and I can arrest people.
You'll enjoy that, Rick, I think.
Yes, Dick, honey, you'll enjoy that.
Oh, you think this is childish to you?
Not at all. It's very grown up and smart. My husband comes home from the office in the middle of the afternoon yelling and gibbering that he's turned the living room into a police station. He's got a uniform and a star and a cap with a nice and glass peak on it and struts around and
Hello, we are. You there?
Here he is, Doug, the chief of police. He's in the kitchen.
Oh, hello, chief. Come on in, chief. I'm in the living room, chief.
It's the chief.
Fine.
We're waiting for you, chief.
Who's this?
Chief of police.
I got something in my tooth.
Hey, Uncle Fletcher.
I can arrest you if I want it.
Go away.
No, but I can't.
Go away, Vic, honey. Leave loose from my coat collar.
Did you say you're spalpeen? I'm after arresting the likes of you in the name of the law.
Look, an Irish cop by George.
Yeah.
Fletcher, you murdering jailbird and bejabers that's after throwing you in prison, I am.
Oh. Leave loose.
Good afternoon. What's all this?
Good afternoon, Chief Cullison. Come in. Sit down. Again,
we go to the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block. Vic has donned his deputy policeman's uniform and is standing proudly beside the bookcase. Sade and young Rush are seated on the Davenport, listening and watching. Chief Cullison occupies the place of honor at the library table, and Uncle Fletcher, in Vic's easy chair, is engaged in his favorite pastime of monopolizing the conversation.
Cobden L. McQuirk invented the vinegar bottle that you buttoned with a button instead of stoppering with a stopper. He married a woman 19 years old, deserted the powdered rabbit business in favor of the sleeved elbow wrench business, painted his entire house and barn without the use of either paint or paintbrush, and later died.
Quite a feller.
There was never another like him on the face of the earth. This was Mervyn J. Welchworth. It will take me 1 hour and 45 minutes to completely describe Mervyn D. Welch.
Well, go ahead.
Uncle Fletcher, I think Chief Cullerton has something to say.
Why? First of all, Mervyn L. Welchwood refused all drinking water that hadn't come from some stream flowing out of Idaho.
What did you start to say, Mr. Cullerton?
Only that I feel this is something of an intrusion. I bumped into your husband in that little restaurant there on Center Street, and he was obliging enough to invite me to spend an hour or so here in your home. Make any telephone calls that might be transferred from the city hall.
Uh-huh.
Is anybody listening to me tell about Mervyn L. Welchwood?
I don't think so, Uncle Fletcher.
If it hadn't been for this desperado that's loose, I'd have taken the afternoon off and gone up to Mackinac River near Carlock there and tried to catch a few catfish.
Uh-huh.
He's a real tough guy, ain't he?
So-so, I guess.
Prentice Tiggles, the purloining pickpocket from Pittston, Pennsylvania.
Is that another one of his aliases, Gus?
Yeah.
And he gives himself those fancy names, V.R. Actually, on the record, he's simply Pete McPunker, cheap crook.
And I prefer the more colorful Tiggles. Newland Netherden, the Newland Netherden, that Nemo was nothingness.
Yeah.
Sounds a lot better than Pete McPunker, Chief Cook.
Yeah, I guess so. No, Mrs. Cook, but as I was saying, I don't like to intrude into your home this way. I suppose V.R. told you the plasters and paper hangers have got my office in shambles.
Yes, he mentioned it.
If it hadn't been for that, I wouldn't have taken the bed.
Telephone's ringing.
Oh, I'll get it.
I believe the telephone is ringing.
Shall I use my Irish dialect, Chief?
How you mean?
Face and be chambers at top of the morning, see, Mrs. Casey, and what is the matter with your old man?
You talk to me, V.R.?
Sure.
What in turn are you saying?
Yesterday afternoon, I am sitting in the park, Begora, and some spalpeen, he comes up to me and he says, and when did old Ireland produce the likes of you, me fine lad?
I don't get it.
Answer the telephone, Rush.
Okay.
Don't touch that telephone, Rush.
Probably official police business.
Okay.
Well, are you just going to let the telephone ring?
Chief Cullerton, shall I use my dialect? Shall I talk like an Irish officer?
Oh, Sunday.
Well, shall I?
I don't care.
Maybe I better just use my normal manner of speaking.
Suit yourself.
Yeah, I'll just use my normal manner of speaking.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Telephone's quit ringing now.
Yeah.
I'll just use my normal manner of speaking.
You'll enjoy that.
Hello?
Party's probably hung up.
Hello.
Yeah, they hung up.
Hello.
Say hello in Irish.
Hello.
Oh.
I believe the party's hung up.
Certainly odd that they should have hung up.
Quite mysterious.
Maybe it was Sheldon Smoke, the snarling sneak from Sibley, South Dakota.
Quite mysterious, that was.
Yes, my daughter Florence in there. Florence!
Listen.
Mr. Sproul, I think.
Hello, is that you, Mr. Sproul?
I'm hunting for my daughter Florence.
Oh, she's not here, Mr. Sproul, but come on in anyway.
Yes.
Oh, we'll just clutter up the police headquarters.
Oh, land sick, what a thing to say. Police headquarters.
Who's this coming in, you say?
An elderly gentleman from across the alley, Mr. Sproul.
He's on deck, huh?
Yes, and you be nice to him.
I'm nice to the different ones. What was it the Port Harry McSplant said about the rendering of lard?
I don't know. Come on in, Mr. Sproul.
I have to stop a minute and fix my shawl and bonnet that's slipping off.
I have to stop a minute and fix my shawl and bonnet that's slipping off.
We heard him.
The poet Harry McSplant said something about the rendering of lard, which has a very close connection with this matter. Are you familiar with the poet Harry McSplant, Cullerton?
No, I'm not.
You've never been in Central Illinois?
I'm in Central Illinois now. Lived in Central Illinois all my life.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I laugh at it all day long.
Yes, indeed.
My daughter Florence ain't over home. I went down to the grocery store to get me some of them peanuts with the chocolate smeared on the outsides and What's the matter here?
Well, not a thing, Mr. Sprawl.
I ain't done nothing.
Oh, don't be frightened, Mr. Sprawl. There's nothing wrong.
I mind my own business.
Sure you do. Mr. Sprawl, I want you to...
I ain't committed no crime.
He's going to crawl under the Davenport.
No, Mr. Sprawl. Listen now.
I'm going to crawl under the Davenport.
Grab him, Biff.
You're shrinking. No.
He's scared of me.
I ain't committed no crime.
Should I give him a little of my Irish dialect?
Oh, get away. I'll handle this.
I'll give him some of my Swedish dialect.
Get away, I said.
He's scared.
Sitting here, cool and comfortable and relaxed, makes me think of the
time. Mr. Sprawl, stop trembling. I'll see that no harm comes to you. This isn't any policeman. This is Mr. Gore.
I behave myself. I obey the law.
Sure you do. Look close at this policeman. See? It's Mr. Gore.
This is Begorius after tossing the likes of you as big as I am, ye spalpeen.
No! No, go away!
Talking the Irish language wasn't wise. I don't believe this, honey.
Talking the Irish language was real smart. Vic, why don't you use your head?
Well, Fender, I was only trying to put him at his ease.
I want to go home. I don't want to go to jail.
Mr. Sprawl, let me introduce you to Mr. Cullerson.
How do you do, sir?
I spilled all my peanuts with the chocolate smeared on the outside.
Well, Rush will pick them up for you.
Sure thing.
Mr. Sprawl, let me introduce you to Mr. Cullerson.
I want to go home.
Mr. Cullerson is the chief of police.
No!
There ain't nobody going to murder you, Sprawl.
Murder me, you say?
All the heck with it.
I want to go home.
Yes, maybe that would be the best thing.
Sure, you run along home.
A different policeman going to chase me?
The policemen will stay right where they are.
I'll go home now.
Yes.
Well, I haven't got all your chocolate-coated peanuts picked up yet.
Never mind. Goodbye, Mr. Sprawl.
Bye.
It was just awful nice of you to drop in.
Thank you very much. I had a pleasant time.
Uh-huh.
I enjoyed myself very much.
Well, that's good.
I enjoyed myself very much, but... now I'm going home.
Be sure and come back again soon for another visit.
Yes, indeed.
I'm pleased to have met you, sir.
The ecstasy was all mine.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Miss
Brown.
That was a fine thing.
Well, you needn't glare at me like I just massacred 80 people, say.
You and your policeman's uniform.
I'm the one that's at fault, Mrs. Cook. It didn't occur to me that it'd be a pretty intrusive thing to turn a lady's living room into a temporary police station. It didn't occur to me.
Oh, yes, Mr. Cullerson. If it hadn't been this, it would have been something else.
Meaning that I'm a fathead, I expect.
You and your policeman suit. Serve you right if Mr. Sprawl never spoke to you again.
I'll tell you people what the poet Harry McSplant said about the rendering of lard.
Harry McSplant said... off on, Bingham.
I believe that was the telephone.
Official police business. I'll get it.
Yeah, you get it. Yeah.
Somebody might have a clue as to the whereabouts of Harrison Hope, the heedless hoodlum of Harrisburg, Ohio.
Same fellow, Mr. Cullerson?
Yes, so.
Hello? And who is it, please? This is headquarters. State your business.
Indiana to go to Dismal Seepage, Ohio. He left Dismal Seepage, Ohio to go to Sweet Esther, Wisconsin. He settled down permanent in Sweet Esther, Wisconsin, married a woman 20 years old, later died.
You have the widest variety of pals I ever heard of.
You couldn't crowd all my pals in the stockyards there in Chicago. If you took every hogshead of that great city and jammed a cram slam full of my guns...
Dolph Ondringen, and... Dolph Ondringen.
Official police business. I'll get it.
I'll get it.
What do you mean?
My friends at Call-Up have been startled enough by you and your police business and Irish talk-and-talk. One side. Hello. Yes. Why, yes, he is. Just one second. Uncle Fletcher, for you.
For me?
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to kiss no woman.
What are you talking about?
I positively refuse to kiss some darn woman.
Well, who said anything about that?
Collarson here.
Why, I didn't either.
I thought I understood you to request me to step to the telephone and kiss some half-wit woman.
Thunder, no.
Well, anyway, this ain't any woman. It's a man. I believe it's Michigan Fishigan from Fishigan, Michigan.
Well, in that case, Sadie, honey, you may hand me the receiver. I'm always glad to communicate with Michigan Fishigan from Michigan, Michigan, but I make a determined stand never to range up to the lame brain telephone and kiss some fat-headed woman. Hello.
Never open my trap by kissing any woman.
Hello, Faith. All right, Faith. Goodbye, Faith.
Short conversation.
Yes, indeed. No, but getting back to the Fort Harry McSplanch, a good many of the different ones consider Harry a little bass in the belfry. That's a slang expression. I believe the slang expression bass in the belfry was coined in either 1909 or 1910.
I forgot my shawl.
I believe this is our elderly friend from across the alley back with us.
Yeah.
I forgot my shawl and I forgot my peanuts with the chocolate smeared on the outside.
Must have recovered his nerve.
Yeah. I got a fellow with me.
Maybe he's rounded up his gang of fans to clean up my neck.
That's about all we need for this particular afternoon.
I forgot my shawl and my peanuts with the chocolate smeared on the outside and I got this fella with me.
Another hilariously funny thing about the Port Harry McSplanch you always refuse.
Well, how do you do, sir?
How do you do, ma'am?
Anything I can do for you?
Well, I met this old geezer outside. He said there was a couple of coppers in here.
Yes, indeed, and that's right, Begorra.
Are you the chief of police?
No.
I am. Oh, well, I'm your baby. Everybody's after me so hot and heavy that I decided to give myself up and save a lot of bother.
Yeah, who are you?
Well, some people call me Milton Mulberry, the mischief monarch from Malden, Massachusetts.
Hey, Courtney Van Cortland, the cunning culprit from Covington, Kentucky?
I'm him, too.
Isaac Inkerson, the intrepid evildoer from El Dorado, Arkansas?
Yeah, in person.
Really, though, you're Pete McFunker, is that right?
That's right.
And you're giving yourself up?
If you don't mind too much.
Mm. Right, George, stuff happens.
Well, if there's a reward for this man, you're the lad that'll receive it.
I like them peanuts with the chocolate smeared on the outside.
Yeah, I like them myself.
Them peanuts with the chocolate smeared on the outside is good.
Vic, I think we'd better take this back. Hey, Vic, where'd you go? Where'd he go?
Vic!
Stay.
Come down from there. Climb down off of that bookcase.